are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, September the 17th, and unfortunately, we've got to talk about the Pistons today. But that's all right. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports journalist for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Thanks for staying with us during the pandemic, during the closure of the NBA season for the Pistons perspective. It has been, what a quick math, 6 months, over 6 months since the Pistons played a basketball game. And we're still going strong, sometimes on fumes here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But we got some Pistons news to talk about. Dwayne Casey talked. We got draft date set in stone. Rumors about the draft as well, some mini camp notes, what Dwayne Casey had to say, and also a note about the Pistons in Game 7. Saw some of the stats talked about over the weekend with some of the playoff teams in Game 7 and wanted to do a memory. Try to think while we do this episode, how many times have the Pistons played in Game 7s and what's their record, and then we'll reveal that answer at the end of the show. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. For the Twitter handle, check us out at Locked On Pistons as well, and at PlayMichigan.com, Play_Michigan for that Twitter handle, and on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But Adrian Wojnarowski came with the news on Tuesday night from ESPN.com, stating ESPN sources that the NBA has locked in November 18th for the 2020 draft. That's right, just 2 short months from tomorrow, November 18th. The date had been tentative. They pushed it back from about October 16th. So 2 more months, mock draft Mondays, all sorts of mock drafts. I don't know. To me, it's nice. I know that it's aggravating that it was pushed back a month, but I had expectations that it would be pushed back even further. So to me, not all that bad. Sharania. Sometimes I struggle to say words. But he had a report on Twitter on Wednesday night saying NBA will run pre-draft process and distribute to teams. League interviews consist of 10 questions. Team assigned 20 players for 30 minutes each. Prospects travel by car to nearest team market for medical strength agility testing. 8 on-court shooting drills. No team personnel allowed. He also went on to say, sources, the NBA has sent teams revamped guidelines informing them that it is organizing the 2020 draft process preliminarily scheduled September 21st through October 16th, so that starts next week, which will include 85 prospects conducting in-market medical exams, testing, and shooting 45-minute quote-unquote pro day video. So there's some of the details going to be conducted and headed up by the league, and the teams will be kind of just given that information. The biggest news there being that the teams don't have their own doctors looking over some of these guys, so just kind of relying on the information given during these in-market medical exams. And for interesting stuff there. Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report passed along his latest mock draft. This is a guy that's very connected in the NBA draft universe. He's got a podcast on Blue Wire that you should check out as well. But he's got a report, part of his mock draft. At first, he says during Golden State's write-up at number 2, he says that the Bulls, Pistons, and Knicks are 3 franchises who figure to have the most interest in moving up for Ball. A little bit light on the language there in terms of figure to have the most interest. So not necessarily reporting that the Pistons have interest in Ball, more connecting the dots and inferring. At the Pistons at number 7, he has Onyeka Okongwu going to the Pistons at 7. You know how I feel about that. But he also, with the big caveat that this is one of the spots that is a trade watch, quote-unquote, for Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report. Here's the write-up that Jonathan Wasserman has. Onyeka Okongwu jumps out as the best player available and a long-term cornerstone for the Detroit Pistons to build with at center. However, sources indicate the Pistons have also made it known that they're open to trading the number 7 pick. So not really talking about whether it'd be up or down or out or for a player. Interesting stuff, really, however you look at it as well. Talking about moving from 7 to 2, where you could possibly get a LaMelo Ball, Jonathan says, the Pistons would likely have to part with a future first-round pick, given their lack of attractive player assets. End quote there. Hard no for me, by the way. If you listen to the show, you probably know how I feel about that. The Detroit Bad Boys on SB Nation, the fine sight that those boys do over there, they put up a poll today at noon, and I'm reading this at 11:30 p.m. on Wednesday night, that if the Pistons traded the number 7 overall pick, what kind of trade do you hope it is? Options being trade up, trade down, trade out for a future first, or trade for a player. To me, my best case scenario would be to trade out for a future first, but trade down is also good. Trade for a player is kind of ambiguous. It's a tough thing to pick because it's obvious what the player is, you know. It's and obviously the return or what you give up for the other choice is hugely important, but I get the general poll. And here's the results so far as I read this at 11:30 p.m. on a Wednesday night. The number one response from Pistons fans, trade up, 36.7%. Next, 29.7% trade down. Next, trade out for a future first, what I picked, at 21.6%. And then trade for a player, 12%. So, you know, that 36.7%, it's probably the LaMelo Ball crowd. Again, I don't have a problem with LaMelo Ball as a prospect. It's a hard no from me. It just feels like one of those guys that doesn't have the Pistons' DNA, isn't the type of player you want to build around when you have a bad team, and hasn't really shown anything. Really, I mean, he hasn't played well in his time playing basketball, which I feel like is important. Again, he's got that very explosive skill that jumps out the screen at you in terms of his passing, and his ball handling is very good as well. Passing is outstanding, no doubt about that, but that's not going to get you all that far in the NBA if you can't knock down shots and can't commit to defense as well. We've talked about this ad nauseum. We'll continue to talk about it a little bit, but to me, I am encouraged, first of all, by the fact that Jonathan Wasserman is hearing that the Pistons are interested in trading number 7. I think that Troy Weaver should come into this situation, to this roster, and with a hacksaw. Like, I really do, and I know that we like to talk about, well, they got these 4 guys, and maybe this 5th guy, and maybe in a couple years you draft 2 more guys. That's kind of not, I know that's like how we think because we're kind of married and we're emotionally attached to some of these young players especially, but to me, I don't know, man. I'm seeing Troy Weaver, and I'm thinking hopefully this guy looks at this roster and says, here's 1, 2, maybe 3 guys that I kind of like, and 1, 2, maybe 3 guys that I kind of want to keep over the next year or two. But other than that, and that's another issue that I have with Ed Stefanski and Arne Tellem looking over his shoulders. And, you know, because those are the moves that he made, that they made as an organization. So for Troy Weaver to come in here, it's pretty awkward for him to kind of say, oh, hey, you guys just won 20 games last year, so I'm going to try to do what I can to get rid of all these guys, basically. So it creates a situation where, yeah, maybe he has the last say on moves. We don't really know. But certainly it's pretty awkward for a guy to come in there and talk to his bosses and be like, hey, all these draft picks you've made over the past two years, and these free agents you've picked up, and these other guys that you're kind of banking the franchise around, I want to get rid of all these guys. And I don't have a problem with that if I'm a Pistons fan. I want this new guy to come in and put his touch on this roster, make the moves that he want to make, get the players in here that he wants to get. And I just think it's another issue with this current arrangement. I mean, you know, we can go on and on about this. But to me, encouraged that Troy Weaver wants to trade the 7 pick. I'd like it to be a trade down to acquire more assets in this week draft. I would hate a trade up. That's just where I'm at right now. I think the Pistons caught a little bit of a lucky break in not winning this lottery, to be honest, especially given the salary that you'd have to pay for a top 4 pick right now. And I think they're in a decent situation in terms of if they were to go through a nice rebuild, maybe 2, 3, certainly 4 years down the road, this could be a different story, and we could be talking about a relevant basketball team for once in a decade plus. But anyway, let's talk about that basketball team mini camp, Dwayne Casey talking to the media. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, you got the Fiats, you got the Kias, you got the Pacificas, the XT5s. It's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need at a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait for the counterman to order the parts on his own computer, choosing the only the brand this warehouse happens to carry? You're going to get screwed on prices there. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. You're not going to get screwed here like you do at some other auto type of places. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and the prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Yes, sir!
Looking for your favorite draft prospects, the Google voicemail line is open at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Let us know who the draft prospect out there that you are standing for right now. Who do you want the Pistons to take at number 7 or trade up or trade down for? You can leave us a voicemail and we'll be playing those throughout these next couple months, but we're looking for some now. So send them now and we'll compile a couple, hopefully for Monday, and then maybe we'll play a couple more as next week goes on. So put your money where your mouth is, put together a voicemail and read it to us there on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546 there. So the other news around the NBA today that the Houston Rockets have lost one of their top decision makers, as the Sacramento Kings and owner Vivek went ahead and made a hire for his number one basketball guy, and it is Monte McNair coming over from the Houston Rockets, who was head of the analytics department there. He's a white dude, by the way. I did check that. But Sachin Gupta, who was formerly of the Detroit Pistons and now with the Minnesota Timberwolves, is one of the final candidates for that position, along with Calvin Booth, the former Penn State center, who is now number 2 with the Denver Nuggets, as AK got taken to be number 1 with the Chicago Bulls. So you can see all the good organizations are getting poached for their top talent. Of course, that's not really happening with the Pistons, although they did lose Gupta after one seemingly ineffective season because he was not replaced as the top assistant GM in charge of analytics. We'll see however that shakes out for Troy Weaver's new front office. So Monte McNair from the Houston Rockets. Vivek must have watched the Houston Rockets in the playoffs this year and said, yeah, I want some of that. How do I sign up for some of that? So we knew that Joe Dumars was apparently part of the group that was making the hiring decisions, but then a report came out last week that Dumars was not sitting through some of these interviews that were happening in Northern California, and of course not considered for the position, apparently. So we'll see what Joe Dumars' future is with the Sacramento Kings going forward. And just another team who appointed somebody to help run the consulting and run the search in Joe Dumars, and it was done in 2 months. For the Pistons, it was 2 years. So actually less than 2 months for Sacramento. So the abnormality of the Ed Stefanski era, whatever the hell just happened for the Detroit Pistons, continues to be proven to me on a daily basis, despite the fact that everyone at the Pistons organization just pretending that everything's completely normal and now we're going to bring in a new general manager, but we're ahead of him on the food chain and the org chart there. So nothing to see here. Everything's fine in Detroit Pistons land. But yes, they did start a 3-week bubble training camp, mini camp, off-season camp, whatever you want to call it, on Monday. And this is leading up to next week, which will be the beginning of a 2-week phase 2 of the bubble, which will include 5-on-5 workouts. So they've got the guys in market right now, and they're doing some individual stuff that they have been doing voluntarily with coaches, one-on-one workout type of stuff. But like I said, after a week of testing, they'll go into Monday where the 5-on-5 situations will happen here in Detroit. So it'll be the first time in over 6 months that these guys will be playing organized 5-on-5 in a team setting against each other. Players who are going to be there include everyone who's under 30, who's with the team, who's on contract going into next year. That's 10 guys that we're talking about there. There's going to be five more added to that group, and they're going to be members of the Grand Rapids Drive organization. Not sure if it's last year's or guys that they're looking at for next year. Not really sure, but that will be announced at a later date. Apparently, who else is not there? Blake Griffin and Derek Rose have opted out. They're veterans. They can do that. And I got no problem with that. Those are guys that you want to be nursing their bodies during this offseason as well. And then two other guys, of course, that make sense that they wouldn't be there are the unrestricted free agents from last season, and that's Christian Wood and Langston Galloway. Makes sense that, of course, that those guys wouldn't be there. They're free agents. Last thing that they need is to get hurt in this type of situation, or why would they even be working out and learning the offensive and defensive philosophies of a team that they're not a member of right now? So that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm surprised the articles that I've read phrase it that they're opting out, and I don't think that's – I don't even know what that they would even be allowed or able to come, although I guess maybe the league year is still happening in this weird year, so maybe that as we sit here today, Christian Wood and Langston Galloway, I guess, are still – members of the Detroit Pistons. Of course, it's a formality that when the league year ends that they will no longer be members of the team. So it doesn't make any sense for them to be there, long story short. So you got the 10 players left there being Luke Kennard, Sekou Doumbouya, Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk, Tony Snell, Thon Maker, Khyree Thomas, Justin Patton, and the two-way players, Jordan Bone and Lewis King. Dwayne Casey was available to the media today. Doesn't seem like he said really anything all that interesting, although he did single out a battle between Thon Maker and Justin Patton at center there as one of the things to watch that he'll be watching next week. I think if you've seen Thon Maker play quite a bit, hopefully Justin Patton is able to beat him out and stay healthy and stay his way onto this roster come training camp, whenever training camp happens. But it's not a very exciting group of players that are coming here to Detroit. That's our young core right now, and that's what we're kind of building on. But again, I'm hoping that Troy Weaver comes in here, and I know we got everyone's got their own guys, right? I'm a Bruce Brown guy. I see the potential in Sekou. I like Svi Mykhailiuk as well. But Thon Maker, Khyree Thomas, Justin Patton, and I know Luke Kennard's a little bit of a lightning rod. Some of the Pistons fans love him. Some would love nothing more than to see him get traded this offseason, especially because he is an asset. He does have value. He's a good player, and you could probably get something for him. I'm probably in that latter group more than the former group. But, of course, Luke Kennard, a very talented player, and it would be nice to keep around, if possible, if he works into Troy Weaver's plans going forward. So what are the things that the Dwayne Casey are going to be watching otherwise here in Detroit in the New Center area? The beautiful new performance center. By the way, the players are going to be living in a hotel and in a bubble. So they're going to be essentially just traveling from the hotel to the practices. This is the way that the NBA had this whole thing set up. But yeah, I'm looking at this roster. I'm looking at a lot of the top players, quote unquote, that are here in this offseason program. Looking at Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown, Svi Mykhailiuk. You can even throw Tony Snell into that group and also Khyree Thomas as well. These guys are overlapping on positions. We're talking about a lot of twos, some threes in there as well. I know that the twos and threes is a little bit of an outdated nomenclature with the NBA these days, but you basically got point guards, you got wings, and you got bigs, right? Well, that's a lot of wings, right? I know Bruce Brown can play a little one. Maybe there's some worlds where Tony Snell plays four. And certainly there are no real future decisions that need to be made with the Pistons to take Tony Snell into account in any way, shape, or form. But it's a weighted roster with these wings and these smaller wings. He's basically these shooting guards, right? I wonder what Troy Weaver thinks about that, especially given the fact that maybe there's a shooting guard in the draft that he likes. Maybe there's a pie in the sky way that he wants to get Anthony Edwards involved in this team, or maybe another wing that you got to find some minutes for, a bigger wing. So a bit of a logjam at wing, but again, the Pistons need wings because they need good wings. None of these guys are really cornerstones of a franchise. You hope that Sekou kind of grows into that. Again, I'm partial towards Bruce as well, and the shooting of Luke Kennard and Svi Mykhailiuk, and those guys can do other things as well, has a lot of value around the league. And Khyree Thomas is someone who's never gotten a fair shake because of injuries and circumstances. But again, bit of a logjam. So how does that position battles kind of come about, and what does Troy Weaver see when he's seeing these guys up close and personal competing in a 5-on-5 setting. I think it's some important decisions that he has to make because, let's face it, you got big money decisions coming up on Luke Kennard. You could offer him an extension this offseason. You got Bruce Brown and Svi Mykhailiuk maybe more towards next summer making decisions on their futures. Khyri Thomas is probably in a do-or-die situation right now himself. So these are important decisions that are on the horizon for Troy Weaver, the Detroit Pistons, and some of their best young players in the organization. So big couple weeks coming up for the Pistons. No media there. I won't have anything to really report on it, but that's going to be what's happening here in downtown Detroit over in the news center area. So coming up next, we're going to talk Game 7 in the Pistons. I'll reveal how many Game 7s they've been in, what's their record, and see if you came up with the right answer. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Watching the Celtics go up against the Raptors on Friday night, TNT showed the graphic that was really impressive and kind of just showed the historic nature of some of these ball clubs. The Celtics get the win in Game 7 against the Raptors. That was their 33rd Game 7 in franchise history. Unbelievable. And they moved to 24-9 in franchise history with that win. Next on the list is the LA Lakers with 24. They are 16-8 in those games. Third on the list in terms of games played is the Syracuse Nationals / Philadelphia 76ers. They've played in 16 of them and are 6-10. So they're under 500 there. And really the one of the worst winning percentages. The Memphis Grizzlies are 0-3, Charlotte Hornets 0-2, New Orleans Hornets and Pelicans 0-2, and the St. Louis Bombers 0-1. Those are the teams that don't have a victory in a Game 7. The Milwaukee Bucks 2-8. So of the teams that have a win, they have the worst winning percentage at 2-8 in 10 games for the Milwaukee Bucks. How are the Pistons on this list? Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm pulling that up right now. Let's go down the list. 1955 in the finals, they lose to the Syracuse Nationals. That is the Fort Wayne Pistons 92-91. There's a loss. The second one comes as the Pistons have now moved to Detroit. This is 1974, the conference semifinals. A loser once again to the Chicago Bulls 96-94. Up next, we are into the Bad Boys era. 1987, losing to the Boston Celtics 117-114 in a I believe they were up 3-1 in that series. That's when Vinnie Johnson and Adrian Dantley hit heads. So the Pistons 0-3 at this point, and then moved to 0-4 in 1988, of course, losing the finals to the LA Lakers 108-105 there. So 0-4, and then they finally get a win the following season, 1990, the headache game in the conference finals against the Chicago Bulls. So moving to 1-4 there as I do the math as we go. 2-4 with a big win over Tracy McGrady and the Orlando Magic in 2003. The first round there, down 3-1 in that series, I believe, as well. So that's 2-4. Moving on and going to 3-4 with a victory against the New Jersey Nets. That's the conference semifinals round 2, 2004, 90-69. Blew them out after getting the big win on the road in New Jersey in Game 6. So we're 3-4 now at this point. Go back to 500 at 4-4, beating the Miami Heat in the 2005 Conference Finals, 88-82 on the road, dipping down once again to below 500 in the finals a couple weeks later, losing to the San Antonio Spurs, 81-74. And then the last one, the Pistons did get a victory in Game 7 against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Palace of Auburn Hills. That is the second round, the conference semifinals, the Pistons win that one, an ugly score, typical going to work era, 79-61. So the Pistons dead even, 5-5, 10 games, really kind of right in the middle of this list. I guess the 10 games played would get them like tied for 10th. Tied for 10th with the Heat, the Wizards, the Warriors, the Bulls, and the Bucks. The win-loss percentage of 500 has you right at about 10th place as well. So right in the middle, not huge revelations there, but hopefully we kind of walked you down memory lane. 5-5, 10, kind of right in the middle of everything. And maybe someday we'll see some Game 7s in the future with this team, our Detroit Pistons. But that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Pistons. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with Fridays with Brian.